And the time to go with the fire alarm is 6 a.m.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with the CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 megahertz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can also call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Robin Erickson speaking for the board, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
And did it just stop?
It might have.
It might have stopped.
We've already had an adventurous day before we even got here.
We arrived with the fire alarm and everybody lined up being with a head count. Things seem fine at the moment. We'll tell you more if we need to know more. This half hour, Carol on the Roof.
Yes.
We are the Saturday morning show. It's a given. Looking for radio waves go on forever. Exactly. As well, little Bramwell Toby Trio for you. And advice from Mary. All this half hour. Because tomorrow.
Yes.
And you're wearing green.
Yes,
green scarf.
Am.
What are you trying to tell us, Carol?
St. Patrick's Day.
That's
tomorrow.
Right. Sure, and when Irish eyes are smiling, it's going to be a problem somewhere. It's 6:03, Carol. A little early for the weather, I was going to say.
Well, let me check. Well, while you're checking, I'll just do the sports for you here.
The hockey, the NHL, Winnipeg Jets took on the Anaheim Ducks last night in Winnipeg. I was at a hockey game earlier with the Jets.
And yes, they were
cruise control, and they lost. What was it? Was it another 5-0?
4-0, something.
We had great seats, so I'm telling you, Carol, those boys move like stink. When they go by, you're in the fourth row. Yeah, it's best seats
you
ever.
You had really good seats.
And a couple of pucks went here and there, but anyways.
Right.
They may have had a talking among themselves because they came out last night and walloped them right from the first go-round. So 6-0 for the Jets playing the Anaheim Ducks. Thank you, Mr. Toffoli and Mr. Monahan, the two latest boys to join the team. Made a big difference. So Jets play the Columbus Blue Jackets on Sunday at 5. American Hockey League, Manitoba Moose were in Chicago last night to play the Wolves. Moose won 3-2 in a shootout. We're getting down the short strokes now, boys. Same again tonight at 7, WHL. The Brandon Wheat Kings play the Prince Albert Raiders tonight at 7 in Brandon. And the Professional Women's Hockey League, the New York team plays Minnesota at 2:30 today, Ottawa and Boston at 5. Belfast Giants played a team with a very similar logo to the Calgary Flames. Took me a while to look this up.
Oh.
It's the Guildford Flames, you see.
I see.
Somebody's been pitching.
Interesting.
It wouldn't surprise you if you, with a name like G and the Flames come off.
I wonder who owns them.
Flames were doused, is what it says on the website.
Very good.
Giants won 3-1. Same again tonight. At 7. Curling, the World Women's Curling Championship in Sydney, Nova Scotia. So it's Denmark plays Canada at 6 o'clock today. Sunday, Canada and the U.S. at 1. Surely that's bound to be on TV somewhere.
Yes.
End of story. 6:05. So what say we take a look at the weather?
0 degrees out there, Ron. They haven't observed the condition, but we can say, yeah, it's nice. Barometric pressure, 101.2 and rising. Humidity, just 62%. Wind coming from the northwest at 15 for a wind chill of minus 5. It's going to be mainly cloudy today. 30% chance of flurries. Wind coming from the north at 40, gusting to 60. Temperature falling to minus 6 this morning and then rising again. Wind chill minus 15 this morning, minus 10 this afternoon. And it just sounds like a mixed up crazy day.
Speaking of flurries.
Weather speaking.
You know, Theo Fleury played for Belfast Giants at one point. It is 6:06.
Yes.
And time for, well, the walk-in this morning.
It was.
We were very
unusual.
Careful because something had come down. It wasn't. Was it grapple?
Grapple.
Was it? What was it? Grapple.
Grapple. It seemed like there was some. There was a small layer of something. snowy, icy-like. And we were a little concerned about walking too quickly because you don't know what's underneath that thing.
Being seniors.
Yes.
But anyways, it was poo-poo. We got on the road once or twice. But you need crampons, maybe the answer. Just throw that out. For those
We've seen a lot of people wearing crampons recently. And even in Victoria, I think I saw. In any case, we've seen people. And we kind of wonder, like, why? But it's, I know why.
To get to the other side.
Yep.
Just like the chicken. Why did he cross the road?
Yep.
Or you could take, I would say, a nail that big and drive it through the sole of your shoe.
Right.
Just another idea. Yeah. We're not just a pretty sound here on Saturday Morning Show.
So just at the point where we're walking along the street and I'm about to say to you, boy, we haven't seen any people this morning.
Yes.
Just the odd car, but not very many.
And we saw the odd person.
And then we heard an announcement.
Well, we were behind the parking lot at Lions Manor, and suddenly a disembodied voice said, "You leave the area immediately." I thought, "That's not us."
Yeah,
guy stood up suddenly next to a car.
Right.
And threw away his little empty bag and trotted off at the high part and buggered off, but quick.
Behind us.
He probably thought we were security. I should have started barking.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's the kind of security to have. Yeah. Somebody sitting there looking at a screen.
Yeah. And then we rounded onto Portage Avenue and there were three fellows coming. Sometimes we can see from a distance somebody's having trouble walking, but these guys were all marching along. They seemed to be okay. And
before
one of them said hi.
Before that, guy came towards us with his hoodie up and he looked at us and he shot into an empty doorway.
Oh, that's right. But he disappeared in the doorway. Like he went into the door and up the stairs,
something,
I guess.
Interesting.
Because he disappeared.
He knew.
Yes, you're
Ooga
right.
Booga. 6:08. Yep. Now, here's what I was going to say. We're going to play for the Dancing and Romancing of the 40s.
Yes.
The Andrews Sisters. And I have a little write-up that came with the whole thing. But there's something odd about it because it said the Sportsman as well. So I gave a listen to it first thing this morning. Boy, the Andrews Sisters' voice have dropped considerably. Or, more likely, it is the Sportsman.
When a fellow meets a girl in Switzerland, there's a certain thing he's gotta do. He can never, never take her by the hand till he learns to tooly-ooly-doo. When a Swiss boy goes calling on a Swiss miss in June, he sings this pretty tune, and he charms her like magic when he yodels this tune.
beneath the alpine moon.
The echoes rose higher and higher, and soon their hearts are both on fire. When you get lonely, now you know what to do.
Yodel polka.
Yes. Okay.
It sure wasn't the Andrew Sisters, because, of course, the Sportsmen we know from their time on the Jack Benny Show.
Oh, I see.
Because not always, but often Sunday night, comedy night on CJNU at 10 to 11. And it's usually a couple of, used often be a couple of back-to-back Jack Benny programs.
Right.
And Jack always upset with the Sportsmen Quartet. Doesn't want to pay them what they deserve, etc.
Oh,
fires
dear.
Them left, right, and center.
Right.
And they do the singing commercials, of course.
Of
as
course.
Well as, and answer him right. Every time in harmony, of course. Sportsmen Quartet, Barbershop Quartet, performed renditions of songs written in the early half of the 20th century. Really between the 1930s and right up to the 1960s, though. They often performed on both radio and television at 6:12. And I lost track now. I was going to say, either I got this in Victoria,
right,
or I got it from a charity shop, and it immediately made me think of Victoria.
Okay.
And that's because it's the Bramwell Tovey Trio.
What?
Because after Bramwell was the music director here at the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra,
yeah,
he went to Vancouver.
Right.
And when you look him up, the range of things that he did and could do as well.
Yes, true.
Quite astonishing. Quite the piano player, too. And when I tell you, he's working here with Gilles Fournier on bass, yes, and Adrian Peak on drums.
So this must have been while he was in Winnipeg.
Yeah, we just recorded here at CBC right next door.
Oh, excellent.
With the producer, Sandy Thacker. Close personal friend.
Yes.
What I was going to say was, I know it's early in the morning, but when Bramwell sits at the piano and you see that he's going to be doing Bye Bye Blackbird, well, it's going to be Bramwell's version, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Brad Moltovey Trio from the CD All the Things You Are, Bye Bye Blackbird. Brad Moltovey, who died in 2022. Wasn't all that old either, but he was...
No, big surprise.
Educated in England, of course, whilst he was educated, a pianist and composer, but whilst at the Royal Academy, also became a tuba player. There you go.
Wow.
See, you'll have to play some tuba next week, I was going to say. Had some nice conversation with Bramwell when I was at CBC. I think he was at the funeral for Princess Diana. And certainly, I remember we chatted with him about what he saw in London as well. And he was a great, as you have to be these days, voice and figurehead for the symphony as well. You have to be a bit of a performer yourself, don't you know?
You were able to get him in, I think, early in the morning.
Right, when he'd come back.
Yeah.
As I say, I may have picked that up in Victoria because we always check out the charity shops, Carolyn, wherever we are, just to see, get a feel for the place. And then we try and see,
what go
to the
Odd
Museum. Well, because I'm looking at, I've got to go back to the library, The Survival Guide to British Columbia. Ian Ferguson.
Oh, I needed that when I was there.
Well, there you are. Because I'm looking at what they say about Victoria. Now, the book is very recent. How recent is recent, Ron? You know, we don't want fake news here. See if I can give you...
While you're looking for the date, I'm just going to say, one way to survive is to pay attention to the absolutely clean and flat sidewalks.
That too.
Yes.
Before you end up face down. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it got into the library in 2019.
Oh,
so Victoria, population 80,017. It's changed a little, I think. Capital city aspires to be carefree and car-free. You can ride a double-decker bus and talk to a two-faced politician of either the municipal or provincial category.
Certainly.
You can attend high tea at the Empress or just get high in front of the Empress from a secondhand smoke.
That's right.
We used to see little shops, and one or two of them had been closed because they weren't legally allowed yet. I took a few pictures
of one of our previous pictures.
And they keep pulling down statues. Yes, that was made the news here as well. But if you go to the Inner Harbor, you can see living statues as well. Jugglers, magicians, contortionists, buskers of all kinds, including a guy who dresses up like Darth Vader and plays the violin.
Cool.
A couple of things here, too. White Rock, which we have visited in BC as well.
Yes, that's
right. There's all kinds of little there's chapters, and then there's short little snappies.
Cool.
Paragraphs on different places, like White Rock. Not a dangerous city to live in, but a dangerous city to leave. Make one wrong turn and you're at the U.S. border trying to explain you aren't trying to cross without a passport.
Right.
You're just going shopping at Costco. And we've seen that on TV as well, I guess. And they right after that, of course, Williams Lake.
Oh, right.
Williams Lake, my roommate, Duncan McMonagle, went on to be the editor at the Winnipeg Free Press. That's where he got his training, the Williams Lake Tribune.
Wow.
He said the big story, well, it was the same story every Friday night.
Oh, dear.
There were bars at each end of town, and they would roll out and meet each other in the middle and try and pummel each other as best they could.
Oh, dear.
Anyways, it's The Survival Guide to British Columbia, Ian Ferguson. It's got to go back Monday,
okay.
So be in the library system by then if that caught your fancy, if you're still thinking.
Is there only one copy in the...
Wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, okay.
BC. 6:20, Carol McKibben, if you will stand on your chair.
Okay.
See if we can make things happen here.
I don't
mind. Weather,
it's nice
you,
out there,
I
sort
we can
of
push just above your head there. That's the ticket. And then I hand you, there, swing it. Getting something now. Yep, getting something now.
Maurice Rocket Richard was without a doubt the best and most exciting hockey player of his time. In some ways, the best ever. Millions of people in Quebec considered him their hero. Richard's scoring exploits were unparalleled. He was the first to score 50 goals in 50 games, the first to reach 500 in a career. Many of his records stood until Wayne Gretzky came along. It was, however, Richard's competitiveness and determination which set him apart from his peers. There was also a fierce temper. That's what got him into trouble in 1955. On March the 13th, the Canadians were playing in Boston. Late in the third period, Bruins defenseman Hal Lako clipped Richard with a high stick, causing a nasty, bloody gash. The referee called a penalty, but for Richard, it wasn't enough. He hit Lako with his stick several times. A linesman jumped on Richard to try to restrain him. Richard punched him in the face. There was no doubt he would be suspended. The only question was, for how long? The president of the NHL, Clarence Campbell, gave the answer 2 days later.
Whether this type of conduct is the product of temperamental instability or willful defiance of the authority in the game does not matter. It is a type of conduct which cannot be tolerated by any player, star or otherwise. In the result, Richard will be suspended from all games, both league and playoff, for the balance of the current season.
The decision stunned Montreal. Many quickly realized its implication. Their beloved hockey team was doomed to lose in the Stanley Cup playoffs without its star player. The local media immediately whipped up public opinion against Campbell. Many portrayed him as an Anglo snob who considered French Canadians inferior. The question around Montreal was whether Campbell would dare attend the Canadiens' next home game on the 17th against Detroit. He bravely, some would say foolishly, did just that. As soon as he sat down in his regular seat, the insults and abuse began. People turned their attention from the game towards Campbell. They pelted him with vegetables, eggs, tomatoes, and bottles. Shortly after 9 o'clock, as a hostile mob surrounded Campbell, someone threw a tear gas bomb. The fumes quickly filled the stadium, sending the crowd of 16,000 towards the exits. Radio stations had anticipated trouble. They were ready with live broadcasts.
Inside the main entrance of the Forum on St. Catherine Street, a huge crowd of people is assembled here, the number in the hundreds and the thousands. They're trying to stop the streetcars. They're on the streetcar tracks, but the police at the moment seem to have things well in hand. They jeer as the police try to push them back. The police are now forming a line and pushing the crowd back.
Richard had listened to the riot at home. The next day, he spoke to the city.
My dear friend, because I always try so hard to win and had my trouble at Boston, I was suspended. At playoff time, it hurts not to be in the game with the boys. However, I want to do what is good for the people of Montreal and my team. So that no further harm will be done, I would like to ask everyone to get behind the team and help the boys to win from Rangers and Detroit.
In the following years, with Richard playing, the Canadiens won several Stanley Cups. He retired in 1960 after helping the team to its 12th championship. To no one's surprise, his number 9 was retired, and he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. When the Forum closed in March of 1996, Richard received by far the loudest ovation. His status was so high that when he died in May of 2000, the Quebec government ordered a state funeral.
Ancient radio waves that go on forever at 6:25. Gentlemen, I've got the newspaper here. Maybe we'll save that. Yeah, the book page from the Winnipeg Free Press, but we'll save that because I think we'll go back to music with a little something from. This has to be one of the latest.
What?
Late in her career, put it that way.
Oh, that's okay.
Billie Holiday.
Oh.
To want you, I'm a fool to want you. To want a love that can't be true, a love that's there for others too. I'm a fool to hold you, such a fool to hold you. To seek a kiss not mine alone to share a kiss the devil has known. Time and time again I said I'd leave. Time again, I went away. But then would come the time when I would need you. And once again, these words I'll have to say, I'm a fool to warn you. Pity me, I need you. I know it's wrong, it must be wrong. But right or wrong, I can't get along without you. I can't get along without you.
CD, The Essential Jazz Recordings, put together by the Large Round Mound of Sound, Ross Porter.
Pretty rude.
And as I say, 1958 for that. So from the CD he thinks highly of, and that's Lady in Satin, Testament to Holliday's genius as a singer and stanzas, her greatest and most revealing recording. Finished product featured a once glorious voice ravaged from years of abuse and hard living. And the other reason I was playing this was I'd forgotten, but I found it again. That was on this day in 1948. Jazz musician Billie Holiday released early from Alderson Federal Prison for good behavior.
Well, good for her.
At 6:30.
Didn't last long, though, did it?
Say, I'm looking at the Turner Classic Movie Channel.
Yes.
Today, 11 a.m. this morning, Gypsy.
Ooh.
Now, the 1962 Gypsy, directed by Mervyn LeRoy, Rosalind Russell, Natalie Wood, Carl Malden, Mr. Potato Head, 11:30, Bad Day at Black Rock, 1955, directed by John Sturges, Spencer Tracy, Robert Ryan, and Francis. You know, it's more important and dramatic when you hold a note.
Yes. No,
Spencer Tracy, I got that from Something Rotten.
From Something
That's
Rotten.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And Francis. One-armed American veteran uncovers small-town secrets when he tries to visit an Asian-American family, Asian-American hero's family. Do you remember that? Well, you can't forget Spencer Tracy with that one arm and the black suit standing at the train station. 11 p.m., Les Amours, 1967, French noir crime story starring Alain Delon. Of course, that means it's repeated Sunday at 9 a.m. because it's the
Noir.
Noir Alley. Sunday, a silent film, I guess, coming up there, called The Johnston Flood. Obviously not documentary, because they wouldn't have done that back then, but stars a very young Janet Gaynor.
Oh.
Whose best remembered role is screen version of A Star is Born from 1937 with Frederick March. Usually the silent films are late at night. 4:30 in the afternoon, Sunday, Finian's Rainbow. 1968. Oh. Boy, that's Arlen and Harburg, I think. A lot of songs you'd remember from that. Here's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Hooray for the Irish department. They have a number this year that's literally sweeping the country. Good old Glacamora. How are things in Glacamora? Is that little brook still leaping there? Does it still run down to Donnycove? Through Killybegs, Kilkerry and Kildare. How are things in Glacamora? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that lassie with a twinkling eye come smiling by? And does she walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me there? So I ask each weeping willow and each brook along the way and each lass who comes a-sighing, how are things in Glacamora this fine day?
Well, from a radio broadcast, would be my guess there, Bing Crosby. From the Arlen Harburg Songbook. As I say, that's in the movie Finian's Rainbow, Sunday at 4:30, directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
I'm not sure if I ever saw Finian's Rainbow.
Has Don Franks in it. Do you remember Don Franks?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes, yes. Canadian success star in Hollywood.
Either he or his brother worked at McNally Robinson in Saskatoon.
I think Fred Astaire was about 69 by the time he made that movie.
Wow.
So some of the reviewers said, oh, the poor soul, and you see his wrinkles, etc. But
oh,
of course,
dear.
He...
Horrible.
Along with Petula Clark and Tommy Steele.
Cool.
He was a big heartthrob
right.
in the early 50s for,
yes.
from Britain. So a leprechaun follows the Irishman who stole his pot of gold to the U.S. South. Originally supposed to be Debbie Reynolds and Dick Van Dyke, but...
Wow.
Hmm. Got a note here about smoking marijuana after this, but I'm not sure what that refers to. So, Arlen and Harburg, since we were talking about who, you'll recognize these from
right.
there. These are some of the other songs that they did.
Okay.
It's Only a Paper Moon.
Oh, right, of course.
All right. Stormy Weather. Notice
yes.
how you can sing every song pretty close to the same. All right. Over the Rainbow, Judy Garland. That old black magic got me in its spell. Yep. I've got a right to sing the blues. I
so
got a right to feel low
your,
down. Arlen and Harburg.
Oh, I
These
see.
Are
it's all
their songs.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Old Devil Moon. Yep. It's Only a Paper Moon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Come Rain or Come Shine. They have two recordings of that here as well. Yep. April in Paris. Yep. One More for My Baby. Performed by Lena Horne. Great stuff. At
right.
6:36.
Yeah. Fantastic writing team.
We promised. So we're going to deliver, and that's the Dear Mary from okay. the pages of the Spectator magazine for 2006.
Okay.
Dear Mary, question. I belong to a modest lawn tennis club with grass courts and a few hard courts. Now that the season's come around again, people are starting to say to me, we must play tennis. And I'm aware that one of the reasons I'm in demand as a partner is because they want to spare themselves the horror of a municipal court. Daily guest fees on top of the annual membership fee amount to not inconsiderable sum. How do I tactfully make it clear that I would not be averse to guests offering to pay their own guest fees?
Mm-hmm.
Name and address withheld. Mm-hmm. All right, Mary. Next time, one of your partners compliments you at the end of a match, say, I enjoyed it too. Then, twirl your head around as though you've just had a brilliant idea. Why don't you join the club yourself? Then you wouldn't have to keep paying guest fees on top of your membership. But I don't pay guest fees. They will falter. Wear a daft expression on your face as you talk. Oh, no, of course you don't. I pay them. How silly of me, eh? You will soon see them put their hands in their pockets.
Thank you.
always has an answer, does she not? It's
clever, though.
6:38, so we've got to be hustling along here. There's our comedy. Got a long comedy for you. So we've got to get to it, right? Yes. Let's see. On this day, born 1942.
Yes.
Jerry Jeff Walker, American country singer. Jerry best known Jeff for, to us, best known for this.
Okay.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you in worn-out shoes, silver hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants, the old soft shoe. He jumped so high, he jumped so high, and then he lightly touched down. I met him in a cell in New Orleans, I was down and out. He looked to me to be the eyes of age as the smoke ran out. He talked of life, he talked of life. He laughed, clicked his heels and stared. Said his name, Bojangles, and he danced a lick across the cell. He grabbed his pants and feathered stance, whoa, he jumped so high. And then he clicked his heels. He let go a laugh, he let go a laugh. Shook back his clothes all around.
Is it a true story? Well, Walker said he was inspired to write the song after an encounter with a street performer in a New Orleans jail. While in jail for public intoxication in 1965, met a homeless man who called himself Mr. Bojangles to conceal his true identity from the police. That'll work for a while. Won't work today, will it? Not very likely.
No.
See, I've been looking at the Winnipeg Free Press book pages.
Yes.
Facebook pages. Banking on the system. Giving capitalism a climate-centric focus the best way forward, author argues. The reviewer doesn't think so at all. I think the reviewer may have made up his mind before he read the book. Anyways, it's called Climate Capitalism, Winning the Race to Zero Emissions and Solving the Crisis of Our Age. I'll give you that title again, Climate Capitalism. That will help you find it. Reviewer, Matt Henderson, superintendent of the Winnipeg School Division. As well, I see... Carol Shields Prize. Six Canadian authors have made it to the 15-book long list for the second Carol Shields Prize for Fiction. Who is it? What's it all about? complete list of long-listed authors. More information about the prize. This is one word. CarolShieldsPrizeForFiction.com.
Oh, okay.
I like it. It's direct, but it's a little long. And by the way, do you remember Elizabeth Renzetti?
Yes.
Globe and Mail columnist. And she came to town here. We interviewed her.
Yeah.
For a book that was very much based on the Coronation Street story. She had the giant earrings. Bette Lynch.
Yeah.
She's coming to town with a new book that she wrote with novelist Kate Hilton. Oh. It's a thriller featuring a big city, middle-aged female journalist who ends up in a small-town paper. All right, then a murder mystery. So, to be at McNally Robinson Booksellers, Grant Park location, is coming Thursday. We'll be joined in conversation by Winnipeg-based Globe and Mail reporter Timur Durrani. That's in the page of today's Winnipeg Free Press. So just mention as well, something to keep you up at night. I've got two things here. One, new book by Linda LaPlante, who did Prime Suspect.
Yes.
This is apparently early Jane Tennyson. A bit of a prequel there. It's called Taste of Blood and favorably reviewed in today's Winnipeg Free Press by Nick Martin, who does the mysteries for them.
Yes.
But anyways, new in paperback. This will keep you up at night. Pathogenesis, now in paperback. Mm-hmm. A History of the World in 8 Plagues. See, there's nothing new under the sun.
Not.
You know what yesterday was?
Wasn't Pi Day. What was it?
It was the Ides of March.
Oh, you're right.
Rinse the blood off my toga. This play is presented with apologies to William Shakespeare and Sir Francis Bacon, just in case. Rome, 44 BC.
My name is Flavius Maximus. I'm a private Roman eye. My license number is IXIVLLCCDIXMV. Also comes in handy as an eye chart. Tonight I'm going to tell you about the Julius Caesar caper. It all began during the Ides of March. I was in my office. I just sent another criminal to jail, Suetonius the Gladiator. He'd been fixing fights at the Colosseum. Had a crooked lion that kept taking a dive. Anyways, I was sitting there. My secretary walked in.
Morning, Flavius. Here's the mail.
Easy with those marble postcards. Break my table. Anything else, baby?
Yeah, there's somebody outside to see you. Seems awful excited about something.
Okay, show him in, doll.
Would you come in, sir?
Thank you, miss. You, Flavius Maximus, private Roman eye?
Yeah, what's in your mind?
Just a minute. Are we alone?
Yeah, we're alone.
Are you sure we're alone?
Yeah, I'm sure we're alone.
Are you positive we're alone?
I'm positive we're alone.
Well, who's that standing beside you?
That's you.
I know, but can I be trusted?
I could see I was dealing with no ordinary man. This guy was a nut. All right, what's on your mind?
Flavius Maximus, a terrible thing has happened. It's the greatest crime in the history of Rome.
All right, give it to me straight. What's up?
Julius Caesar has been murdered.
Julius Caesar murdered. I couldn't believe my ears. Big Julie was dead.
Yeah, he was killed just 20 minutes ago. Happened in the Senate. He was stabbed.
Stabbed?
Yeah, they got him right in the rotunda.
Oh, that's a painful spot. I had a splinter there once. Yeah. Oh, those marble splinters, you know.
Boy, I tell you, all of Rome is in an uproar. And I came to you because you are the top private eye in Rome. You've got to find the killer.
Well, I'll try.
Oh, you can do it. After all, you're the guy who got Nero. You sent him up on that arson rap.
Nero, the whole town was sure burned up about him, eh? You get it? Hold on. Holy Jupiter.
Oh, look, what do you say, Flavius? Will you take the case?
Just a minute, Pally. I like to know who I'm working for. Just who are you?
I'm a senator. I was Caesar's best friend. The name is Brutus.
Brutus, eh? All right, Brutus, you got yourself a boy. I'll take the case. My fee is 125 drachmas a day. Payable in advance.
Okay, here you are.
You're one short.
Hey, you got a good ear.
When it comes to money, perfect pitch. Let's go, eh?
All right, let's go.
outside, flagged a passing chariot, and made our way down the Via Appia. The streets were crowded with the usual people, slaves, legionaries, patricians, and little men who came out of doorways and sold you postcards from Gaul. Before long, we found ourselves at the Senate.
This is where it happened. This is where Big Julie got knocked up.
Yeah, now where's the corpus delicti?
The what?
Corpus delicti. What's the matter? Don't you understand plain Latin? The body.
Oh, the stiff?
Yeah.
Oh, he's laying right over there.
Wow-wee. 8 daggers in him.
Yeah, what do you think?
If he were alive today, he'd be a pretty sick boy. Yeah. He's really fixed for blades, eh?
Now, come on, Flavius, you gotta solve this crime.
All right. Fill me in on the setup here. Now, who are those guys over there?
They were all here when it happened. That's Publius. That's Casca. There's Trebonius.
I see. Who's that guy over there with the lean and hungry look on his kisser?
That's Cassius.
Yeah? Looks like a loser from the Colosseum. Yeah. Well, who do you think is the likeliest suspect?
That fella next to him.
Wait a minute, that's you.
I know, but can I be trusted?
I could see I was dealing with no ordinary case. This was a mental case. Wait a minute, who's the dame?
Well, that's Caesar's wife. Her name is Calpurnia.
Yeah, well, she's a suspect.
Sure.
Just a minute. Pardon me, Mrs. Caesar?
Yes?
Flavius Maximus, Private Roman Eye, I'd like to ask you a few questions. What do you know about this?
I told him, Julie, don't go. What? Julie, don't go, I told him. No, he wouldn't listen to me.
Now, look, Mrs. Caesar,
I told him once, I told him 1,000 times, Julie, don't go.
Now, please, don't upset yourself.
I begged him, don't go. I told him, Julie, don't go. I said, it's the Ides of March. Beware already.
Yeah.
But would he listen to his
All
wife?
Right, take
no.
it easy. Sergeant, would you take Mrs. Caesar home, please?
Come along, ma'am, come along.
I told him, Julie, don't go.
I don't blame him for going. All right, you senators, you can go too, but don't leave town.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. Not an angle anywhere, not a clue.
Well, cheer up, Flavius. After all, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Hey, what was that?
I said Rome wasn't built in a day.
Hey, that's very good. Rome wasn't built in a day. That's very good.
You like it?
Yeah.
It's yours.
Thanks. Well, let's reconstruct the crime. Now, Caesar was over here.
Right
at,
over here.
Shh.
What's the matter?
Somebody behind that pillar.
Oh,
I'll go get him. Shh.
Right.
All right, buddy.
Stop it.
All right, Buster. What are you doing hanging around here?
Well, why shouldn't I? I'm Mark Antony.
Mark Antony?
Yeah, I just made a speech over the body of Caesar. I said, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears.
Yeah? What do you got in that sack?
Ears.
You get out of here.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you want to know who bumped off Julius Caesar?
Yeah. You know who did it? Out with it. What's his name?
His name is... Ah!
Oh, no! It's a funny name. Must be Greek.
No, look. He's dead.
What a confusing case. All I got for clues is 2 dead bodies and a sack full of ears.
Now, look, Flavius, I'm paying you 100 drachmas a day.
125 drachmas.
All right, you got a good ear.
I got a sack full of good ears.
Now, look. Let's have some action here, eh?
All right. Don't get your toga in a knot. Listen, I got a pal.
Yeah?
Claudius.
Yeah.
Runs a bar on the Via Flaminia. He should have a few answers for me.
Hey, that's the idea. Get out among the people. Ask questions. After all, when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
What was that one? What was that one?
I said, when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Oh, that's very good. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Very good.
You like it?
Yeah.
It's yours.
Thanks. I'll see you later.
All right.
Claudius's Bar and Grill is a hangout where I get all the answers. It's just a small place with a few tables and a guy in the corner playing a cool reed pipe.
Hiya, Flav.
Hi, Claude. What's new?
Nothing much. What are you drinking?
Give me a Martinez.
You mean martini.
If I want 2, I'll ask for them. Look, I'm working on this Julius Caesar kill. You know anything?
Try that dame over there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, sister, start talking.
I told him, Julie, don't go. Julie, don't
out,
go.
Out!
Hey, look, Flavius, I think I know the guy you're looking for.
You mean Mr. Big?
Yeah. His name is... Ooh!
Now, that's an interesting name. You got a chisel? I'd like to write it down.
Claudius?
Claudius! I would never get any more conversation from him. He was dead. This was shaping up bigger than I thought. Suddenly I looked up and there was Brutus.
Hello, Flavius.
Brutus, what are you doing here?
Hey, I was looking for you. Hey, who's that on the floor?
Claudius, the bartender.
Hey, that's a funny place for him to carry a knife in his back.
He's dead. He was stabbed. Through the portico.
Hey, that's even more painful than the rotunda.
Yeah.
Well, have you come up with any answers? Who killed Julius Caesar?
I started to think, and slowly the pieces fell into place. Brutus was the only man around when all those guys got killed. Caesar, Antony, the bartender, Brutus was always there. Things were beginning to add up. I put two and two together, and it came out IV. It was time to make my move.
Well, have you come up with any answers? Who killed Julius Caesar?
Only one guy could have done it.
Yeah? Who?
Let's not play games, Brutus, or should I say Mr. Big?
What are you getting at?
If the sandal fits, wear it. You knocked off Big Julie.
You're out of your head. I hired you to find the killer.
Pretty smart, but not smart enough. Now, all right, are you going to talk? Or do I have to call in a couple of centurions to lean on you?
All right, Flatfoot, I did it. I admit it. I knocked off Big Julie, and I'd do it again.
That's all I want to know. I'm sending you up to Tiber for a long stretch. Come on, I'll call a chariot. We'll go downtown.
Don't move unless you want a dagger and a toga.
What?
I'm getting out of here. Don't try to stop me.
He had the drop on me, and I couldn't stop him, but I knew where he was heading. For the scene of the crime, the Senate. And 15 minutes later, I pulled up in my chariot. Tiberius? Tiberius, hand me that ram's horn.
Here you are, Flav.
All right, Brutus. This is Flavius Maximus. I know you're in there. Come on out.
Come and get me, you dirty rotten flatfoot.
You haven't got a chance, Brutus. I've got the Senate surrounded with a stakeout. Now throw your sword down. Come on out with your hands up.
Come and get me.
Get smart, Brutus. We can smoke you out. We'll throw incense. We'll throw in an onion on a spear.
I don't care what you do.
All right, you asked for it. Give it to him, Tiberius.
Brutus, one false move and I'll fill you full of bronze.
All right, you got me, Shamus, but I'll be back.
No, you won't. This isn't a series.
What?
It's just one little LP.
Don't worry. I'll be back. Just remember one thing. All roads lead to Rome.
Come on. Hey, wait. Bring him back.
What?
Wait, now that one was a dandy.
What?
All roads lead to Rome. Oh, that's the best, you know that?
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Well, you can't have it.
Oh, get out.
Good work, Flavius. All Rome salutes you. Hail Flavius!
Hail Flavius!
Thanks, boys. And now, if you'll excuse me, I got a date with a doll. Okay, baby, I'm ready. Now, you're sure your husband doesn't object?
Well, frankly, I don't care. I told him, Julie, don't go. Julie, don't go.
Yes. Wayne and Schuster, rinse the blood off my toga. Too bad about Big Julie, yesterday being the Ides of March. 657, children, we've got to tell them who we are, where we are.
I'm Major General retired David Fraser, author of the Operation Medusa, the furious battle that saved Afghanistan from the Taliban. And you're listening to CKUW FM 95.9.
Time for the Children's Corner on the Weekend Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, boys and girls, we've got a song for you, a quick song before we get to 7 o'clock then. It's all about, always be careful what you put in your mouth. A song about digestion, yes?
Yeah, okay.
Famous Canadian singer you've never heard of, Alan Mills.
Ooh.
I know an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. I guess she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a spider that wriggled and wriggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed the fly. I guess she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a bird. Now how absurd to swallow a bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and wriggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed the fly. I guess she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a cat. Now fancy that, to swallow a cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and wriggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed the fly. I guess she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a dog. My, what a hog to swallow a dog. She swallowed the dog to catch the cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and wriggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, but I don't know why she swallowed the fly. I guess she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a goat.